This morning we'll be taking another lesson along the theme that Kyle and I had chosen about spiritual growth. In this lesson, I've asked several individuals to read scripture and to lead a couple songs. I wanted to introduce my lesson on spiritual growth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I think Paul summarizes it very nicely here. Paul said, I planted the seed, the word of God. Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And that really, I think, speaks to our spiritual growth as Christians. The word is planted in our hearts. It's watered, as it were. Now, it's springtime, so I thought this was a really good introduction. But God is the increase, the growth, the spiritual growth inside of us, inside of our minds and in our hearts. I chose for my opening topic to talk about several characteristics of spiritual growth. In concept, I think that this is firmly embedded in Scripture. That is, those who are willing to do God's will, those who are willing to grow spiritually. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. Second Corinthians 8, verse 3 says, For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. Those Christians there had grown spiritually. They had matured, and they gave beyond their means, speaking to their spiritual growth. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share. Now it's talking about some physical means or physical resources, sharing those things, certainly. But I also think that within each one of us, we have the ability to share the word. We have the ability to help those who need uplifting or encouragement. We have the ability inside of us to share of our good treasure, the treasures of our heart, kindness, love, patience, all of those good things listed. Some are willing to share the good treasures of their heart. Others just do what they're asked. They're just going through the motions. They're not growing spiritually. Some are unwilling to really do much of anything. Perhaps they attend. Perhaps they come and they assemble. But beyond that, they really don't do much of anything. Those who complain about how things are, those who turn away, and they stop coming altogether. Or perhaps there are some who are just not happy. They're not content spiritually. And in the end, they do nothing to change their spiritual status with God. Some are at times even depressing. They're burdened down with this world. I talked there in that last scripture about the riches of this world and the cares of this world. And Kyle's lesson, and in some of the scriptures that were read, it talked about the cares of this world weighing us down. It can pull down a Christian and discourage us. Such people are destructive to themselves spiritually. They're destructive to others. They disrupt. They cause division. They cause strife. They cause discontentment. And they tear down the Lord's work. They tear apart and bring others down with them. You see, it takes a heart willing to change. It takes a heart that wants better things than the things I was just describing. It takes a heart willing to grow spiritually. That willingness isn't just a concept. It's something you have to think about and purpose in your heart. That is one characteristic of a spiritual, of a person who wants to grow spiritually. They also need to be able to see. They must have a vision. They must know where they want to go. I've asked Adam, if he would, to read John, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 38.
Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Thank you, Adam. Jesus here is describing those who have a vision. He said, see, the fields are white with harvest. Now, he wasn't talking about the farmers going out and collecting their crops. He was talking about souls who were ready to be preached to. Souls who were ready to receive the word of God and receive the gospel. And that he talks there about the laborers. That is Christians who must go forth and teach. This is God's vision for Christians. This is God's vision for laborers in His vineyard. This is God's vision of the Church of Christ, how we grow spiritually, both as individuals willing to go and teach. That must mean we must be ready. We must be studied up. We must be prepared in our hearts and our minds to go forth and teach. It also talks about those who are reaping and receiving wages and gathering fruit for life eternal. Spiritual growth isn't just about going out and teaching the word. Certainly that's a fundamental truth. Certainly that is one characteristic of someone who wants to grow spiritually. For you see, the more you teach, the more that you go out and you seek and save the lost, the more you're going to grow as an individual. The stronger Christian you're going to become. You're going to defend the truth. You're going to boldly speak to those who are willing to listen. You're going to be an example. You're going to show Christ in your life, which is going to cause you to grow spiritually. That vision that Jesus put forth, He challenges us not only to see the needs of others to hear the gospel, but also the possibilities of us growing as a church. Now, not just here locally. Certainly that is one thing that we strive for, to grow spiritually as a church, to grow more mature, as Kyle was speaking about, but also the church overall. You see, the borders there in Jerusalem, the gospel didn't just stay there in Jerusalem. No, it went around the world, throughout all the known regions of the world at that time. It was spread by Christians who were willing to go and labor in the vineyards. The frontline Christians, those who were willing to spend the time, to spend the effort, to use their talents to spread the gospel. Those who were willing to grow spiritually, exhibit these things, and they have a vision in their mind. They understand that spreading the gospel, there's not only a need in this world and in this community to teach and save the lost, but the possibilities are boundless. The growth of this church here in Waynesville could explode if we all went and taught just one person. If we all went and taught just one person this week, we would grow by leaps and by bounds. We would grow numerically. We would grow spiritually. Think about the possibilities. Jesus understood the explosive nature of the gospel and how it spread throughout all the world in just 30 years. And it converted thousands, tens of thousands of souls. Because the word of God converts, as Paul ascribed credit back to God. Another characteristic of spiritual growth is being optimistic. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 47. 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up in my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." David spoke with such optimism. He spoke with such zeal and fervor of spirit. David was confident. He was optimistic. He knew that the Lord gave him the victory. He knew that the battle belonged to God. David is a strong example for us to follow, not only in faith, not only in optimism, but in strength of spirit. You see, David didn't go out there with the biggest spear. David didn't go out there with the biggest sword. David didn't go out there with a cannon. Those things wouldn't deliver David from Goliath. What would deliver David was the God of the armies of Israel, the God of the hosts of heaven, the God of all the angels in heaven would deliver David. Not by strength of arms, but by strength of spirit, by this optimism that David had within him. And everybody around David knew this optimism. They knew that David had it, and they were drawn to his optimism. I challenge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, I challenge you to be optimistic. I challenge you because it will draw people to Christ. The more optimistic you are, the more positive feelings that you have and the positive thoughts, the more that you study your word and you show the love of God, the more it will attract others to Christ Jesus. Not by strength of your abilities, not by strength of your talents, but by the will and the power of God who works in you, who works through the Spirit, through your heart, through your mind, through your actions. It is God calling. It is God's gospel that goes forth and converts. David had that optimistic spirit. We, as a church here in Waynesville, need to be optimistic. Be positive. Think ahead to how you can help others. Think ahead how you can show hospitality, how you can show love and generosity, how you can share of the Spirit. It attracts people to Christ. If you're around positive people, I'm telling you, people are drawn. People want to listen. People want to hear the positive. They want to listen to the love of God. They want to hear about Jesus and his power and his strength and how he can strengthen you, how he can strengthen me, and how Jesus Christ can strengthen them. Which leads us to the next one. They must rejoice in the Lord. I'm sorry, I skipped over one. They believe things can be done. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, 13 says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." God will strengthen you. He will lift you up as it were on wings of eagles. He will strengthen you. He will give you the words to speak in the Bible. He will teach what you should talk about. He will show you examples of others who have gone forth. He will help strengthen you and uplift you and encourage you. Each one of us as Christians, we encourage one another in song, in hymns, spiritual songs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." What a wonderful thought. Not only are we to be optimistic, but we are to be rejoicing. We should be the happiest people on earth. We shouldn't let any earthly care, any family situation, any job situation, any school situation, any friendship bring us down. Why is that? Because we have the joy and the love of Jesus Christ. That is a source of strength. It is a source of optimism. It is a source that uplifts us in dark times. We should also be thinking of how to encourage one another. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Another characteristic of spiritual growth is that we encourage. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. Barnabas was a great example to the apostles. Men of renown. Men who were sent by God to teach and to preach. Barnabas was of great encouragement to them. In fact, all the apostles, you know what they called him? Son of encouragement. He uplifted the apostles. Think about that role. What about us as Christians? We should be sons of encouragement. We should encourage one another, uplift one another. That is a sign, that is a characteristic of spiritual growth. When you can uplift your brother and sister who is in pain, who is sick, or who is suffering. A sign of spiritual growth is you go to that person. You minister to their needs. You help them. Whatever you can do to help them. And we have so many great examples in Waynesville of people who pray for one another. People who bring a meal or food to those who are sick or those who are in bed or those who just need encouragement. Maybe they lost a loved one. We've had countless examples here. And it encourages me, and I hope it encourages you. In the face of discouragement, in times of limited ability, in times of limited resources, continue to encourage. Continue to support the work. Be devoted to the Lord. Those are the times that show you have grown spiritually. You know, those that encourage, they're not just fair-weather fans, as that phrase is used. They're not just enthusiastic when things are going well or when we're winning. Those who encourage, they endure the bad times as well as enjoy the good. Another characteristic of spiritual growth, liberality. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. Second Corinthians 8, verse 2 says, "That in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality." See, these Christians, they didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of resources. They may not have been the most talented people. And in times, in the ordeal of great affliction, perhaps they're even persecuted. Perhaps they're brought low by circumstance, family or jobs or the economy or whatever it is. They, out of their abundance of joy and their deep poverty, they overflowed with the wealth of generosity. They gave whatever they had. They shared with anyone that they could. They sought out opportunities in the liberality of their hearts. That's pointed out to us in Scripture as a sign, a characteristic of one who is growing spiritually. That is the idea that you are liberal, you are giving, you are sharing, you are helping with whatever you have. In whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you go and you seek out ways to help others out of generosity. That positive sense of being willing to share, again, we have a lot of great examples here, just here in Waynesville. And perhaps you know of other examples, people who are willing to share what they have. They're liberal with their time, their money, their abilities, their talents. The list goes on and on. Stingy people, the Bible points out, will never prosper. The Bible says the diligent will prosper. The Bible says those who are liberal, those who are giving and sharing, they will prosper spiritually. They will prosper because it is the will of God that we help one another in liberality. Are you spiritually strong, showing these characteristics? Spiritual growth as a Christian means we are continually increasing in these areas. This time I've asked Andrew to lead us on number 587. 587, Sing and Be Happy.
Yeah.
Another thing we as Christians need to have is to be persistent in our effort. Turn, if you will, to Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the righteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We as Christians must be persistent in spirit. The example there that Jesus gave in that parable speaks to us and tells us that this woman, she won the justice that she deserved because of her persistence. We ought to be that way as Christians. Not that we're going around trying to bother people, but we're going around trying to tell them what God would have them to do. By that persistence, we pray God will grant the increase. Consider a couple examples of persistence. Noah, in Genesis 5, verse 32, and in chapter 7, verse 6, it tells us it took him over 100 years to build the ark. Now that is an example of persistence. God told him, Noah, go and build an ark, and I will save your family from the flood. 100 years went by. 100 years. That's persistence. A second example, Paul in Philippians chapter 3, which we're not going to take the time now to read. Paul was a man whom God chose to go and to preach. Through Paul's persistence, he preached the word of God. He was persecuted for his preaching. But by his preaching and by the word of God, which he gave God the credit for, of course, many souls were saved through that persistence. Paul went about everywhere he went, starting churches. He went about planting the word, the seed. Yet he gives God all the credit, as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. Paul recognized that God was helping him in his being persistent. God was assisting Paul endure the persecution, the whipping and the stoning and the being wrecked in the ocean and being there all night. He was still persistent. He still would not give up. He always was preaching. He was always teaching. He was always seeking opportunity. Spiritual growth requires persistent effort. Every day, Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow after me. That's persistence. That's what it takes to be a Christian. What are some areas that we need to be persistent in regarding the Bible? I'll go through these quickly. We need to be persistent in seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us to do that. We should seek the spiritual path established by God, according to Psalms chapter 37, and verse 23, and also in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 9. We are to seek and be persistent in our spiritual good works, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. We should be persistent in good speech, seasoned with salt, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. We should be persistent in seeking good advice. And a multitude of counselors, we are told, there is great wisdom and prosperity. We should be persistent in seeking a good name, a good reputation as a Christian, good morals, good character. We must seek and be persistent in seeking good fruit, love, joy, peace, contentment, all of those things listed. That according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 17. We are to be persistent with a good heart, full of good works, full of compassion, just like Jesus was. And as I mentioned before, good morals. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. We should also be persistent in seeking a good report. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We must have a continual reliance on prayer. I've asked Alan, if he would, to read Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 through 22 at this time.
Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 through 22. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it, but only leaves. And he said to it, May no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered them, Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, Be taken up, and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it, if you have faith.
Thank you, Alan. Jesus reminds us in this scripture that your faith and your prayers can be relied upon because God is the one who will grant your prayers. What an awesome thing to think about. We have witnessed in this congregation God answering prayers. We have witnessed in this congregation the goodness of God, granting health, granting well-being, helping people find jobs, helping people as Christians to be encouraged. What a powerful instrument that prayer is, because we pray to the one who can make a difference. James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us the prayer of a righteous man avails much, can accomplish much. People who are interested enough to pray are interested enough to work. The prayer of the righteous means you have to be active spiritually. That is a work. Faith is a work. The Bible teaches us that God answers prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Prayer can change things in your life. It is a sign of spiritual maturity. The more you pray, the more spiritual you will become, because you're talking to the master of the universe. You're talking to the greatest spirit. God is spirit. God created us who are spirit. By prayer, we grow spiritually. It increases our faith. We should pray to the one who can change things in our lives. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. God can make a huge impact in your life. We should pray about things that can be changed. You know, in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 5, it says that Hezekiah prayed to God, and God answered his prayer and granted 15 more years onto his life. God had told Hezekiah, you're going to die. Prepare your household, you will die. Hezekiah prayed, and God answered his prayer, and he said, I will grant you 15 more years. Hezekiah's faith there can teach us the power of prayer in our lives. If God does not see fit to change things in our lives, we should pray. Our desires should change and conform to his will. We must never give up our desire to make things change for the better by prayer. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says, Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive in faith, as Brother Alan read to us. At this time, I've asked Andrew to lead a song, God is So Good, and we'll close with this song. just a moment, Roger will be leading a song of invitation. I wanted to take just a moment and thank you for coming out. I had more to my lesson, but we ran out of time. So at this time, any of you have a need, either to become a Christian or perhaps you are a Christian and you find you need encouragement, or perhaps you have sin in your life, we can pray with you at this time. If you would, make your wishes known and come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement, number 113.